Now we're holding on Mem Aleph on Beis, the second line from the bottom. We're in the middle of dealing with a bunch of cases where a loiver claims that a debt was paid off, and various kinds of counter arguments. We've been talking about things, for example, where he claims that he paid in front of Edom and the Edom aren't here anymore, or the type of Edom that he was supposed to pay in front of, or the last one we had was that he said, I paid you in front of Pliny and Pliny, and they said, that doesn't necessarily brand him as a liar, as a kafron, because we said that, he didn't have to pay him in front of Edom, and therefore he's not necessarily expected to remember whether in fact he paid in front of Edom, and therefore so he thought he had is not considered a liar, and therefore we can have the usual rule where he would take a shavuos heses on it. I'd forgotten to mention, actually, there are Rishonim who point out, Rabbi Chananel has a different understanding of that one, that the when we say something that a person is not expected to remember, he doesn't remember, refers not to the loiver, but rather to the Edim. They're not necessarily expected to remember, since they weren't called on specifically to be Edim for this, and therefore the fact that they say, Lo Haru Dvarim Olam, doesn't contradict him. Okay. The Gemara continues, Hahudu Amalei L'Chavre, one person says to the other, have the shisme zuzi de masik nebach, pay me the 600 zuz that you owe me. Omalei, so the other one says, v'loi praticha, didn't I pay you back as follows? Mea kabi afti, I paid you with 100 kav of gulnuts. Gulnuts are a growth on certain kind of trees. Those gulnuts, they use them in the process of tanning leather and also in making ink. So, they're making leather or parchment or ink, they have tannin in them, which is useful for those purposes. So I paid you with a hundred kav of those, the kind of the shita, where each kav was worth six zuz. So 6 times 100 is 600. So I paid off the whole debt. Omalei, so the other one, so the Malva says no, la ba 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 have a kaimi. Weren't they worth 400 apiece? Sorry, four piece. So in that case, then fine, you paid 400 of your loan, but you still have 200 to go. Well, sure enough, also Trey Sadi, two Edom came, the Amru, and they said, Ein, ba, 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 havukaimi. They were indeed at the time priced at four zuz to the calves. So therefore, yes, the Edom are saying that he paid 400, he still has another 200 to go. Omar Rava, Hoksa Kafran, so Rava says, well, now this person has been shown to be a liar by the Edim, now we can't trust him with a Shavua. Ordinarily, we would say he's a Mordu Mitzas, and therefore, or actually, we would have said he's a Kofa Hakel, but whatever. The point is that normally we would have said he would be able to take a Shavua on the rest of it, but now he can't do that because now the Edim have contradicted him about the price. Gemara says, Omar Rami Bahama. So Rami Bahama says, why? Ha'amrit kol milsa delay ramyat alayda inish. Didn't we just say that when there's something that a person is not expected to remember, lava daite, then he doesn't keep it in his mind, and he may be mistaken about it. So here, does he have to remember how exactly he paid his debt? He thought that he paid it off completely, and it turns out that not. Why should we say that he's a kafron, and therefore we can't believe him on a shavua anymore, as far as this matter? So in that case, then he's a kofer hakol, and he should be able to swear a shavuos heses, and that's that. Omalei Rava, said Rava, says this case is different. Kitzusa detara, when it comes to how much the price was, midcha dekiri inchi, people remember such things. So therefore, yes, we would expect him to remember how much, given that he's saying how he paid the loan, we would expect him to know how much the price was at the time, and if he's saying one amount and the Edim are saying a different amount, then yes, he's been contradicted by the Edim, and we can't accept any claim from him any further on this case. So therefore, what would happen is that we talked about previously in what cases we would do hipuch shvua. So in that case, so this would be one of those cases, and therefore, so the teveya would swear that in fact he still owed another 200, and then he'd collect. Okay, another case. Hahud Amalei L'Chavrei, one person says to the other, have the meya zuzi de masik nebach, give me the 100 zuz that you owe me. V'hashtara. And here's the shtar. Omale, so the other one says, Praticha, I paid you off already. Omale, so the Malva says, fine, you did give me money. You did give me money. However, Sitroi Ninhu. However, that payment that you gave was for, that you owed me from a different side. The word Sitroi, like you have the word Sitra, like as in the word Sitra Achra, as in you have the standard Aramaic word for side, like when it talks about in the Pesukim Sidei HaMishkan, for example, then it means it's translated in Aramaic as Sitra. So Sitroi means a loan, means a debt that you owe me from some other side. So in other words, the Malva is saying that was previously you owed me for a different debt. Now you gave me that 100 zuz, very well, that paid off that other debt for which I didn't have a shtar. But now this one that I have a shtar is still outstanding. Now the Ran adds, if the Loiva at this point were to agree that there was another debt, even though he says that I meant to pay the one in the shtar, then that wouldn't be a valid claim. But here the Loiva is denying altogether that there was even such another claim. So now the problem is like this. On the one hand, the Malva is claiming he still owed the amount in the shtar. On the other hand, he himself does agree that he received money. So now, what does that do? What does that do to the shtar? Omer Rav Nachman, Itra Shtora. So now Rav Nachman says the shtar has been weakened, because after all, the fact that he admitted that he received money, so how does he have the ability to say Sitroi Ninu? What does that mean? Because Itra Shtora, therefore what? So now you have a Machlokas who's showing him what that means, therefore. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel and also Rabbeinu Tam that it would mean that it doesn't mean the shtar is completely possible, but it would mean that now if the Malva wants to collect with the shtar, he's going to have to swear that it wasn't paid off. On the other hand, Tosfos goes on to mention and to question that based on a Gemara in Ksubas that talks about a case like this involving Sitroi and involving other cases like that involving a shtar with a reyes in it. So Tosfos actually says that it means you can't collect with the shtar, but you don't we don't tear it up, but we can't collect with it either. Meaning, in other words, the shtar is kind of in limbo. So according to Tosfos' preferred explanation, what it would mean basically is that you can't collect with it. And then Amar points out that fine, what it would mean is if the Malva seizes property, if he's Tosfos in order to collect the debt, then we can't take it away from him because there is a suffix whether the shtar is valid or not. But we can't collect with it either because there's reason to say that the shtar is completely invalid. Various Rishonim bring from the Rif brings from Reb Shuda Goin and Reb Hai Goin that Isra Shtara means the Shtar is completely bottle, and therefore in that case then the Loiva could make a Shvor Seses, and that's it. There's discussion about that. The Gemara brings soon another case involving another one of the cases that we're going to have over here involving where he says I paid you back via payment involving meat and so forth. And then they point out that there also we have a case of Isra Shtora and Lo Isra Shtora, and it means, and then there it comes out that it means it's completely possible. So therefore they say it's the same kind of thing. The Ran disagrees and says that actually over there in that later case also it might be different than this one, and therefore not necessarily in our case is a shtar completely possible. So in short, you have several different opinions of Rishonim what we do as a result of Isra Shtara. Does it mean the shtar is completely possible? Does it mean, therefore, the Loiva could swear a Shavuos Heses in Mipotter? Does it mean, as Tosfos prefers to say, that the shtar is not completely possible? You can't collect with it either, but if he is Tosfos, then you can't take it away from him. Or does it mean, it doesn't mean that's weakened in the sense, Rabbeinu Hananel says in the sense that he would have to swear in order to collect with the shtar, but otherwise not. Okay. Then, by the way, there are. By the way, there are. Rishonim will point out even more so. I mean, this is all anyway. this is a further case that we're going to have involving paying him in front of Edim, which is going to be the next case over here, would be only if the Edim actually see that he gave it to him as a payment. But otherwise, not even. He could say that you gave it to me as a present, and that would even work. But in any case, here there were no Edim, but he himself admitted. So he's claiming Sitroi. So again, what does that do to his shtar? So it weakens it according to these various opinions of what that means, that it weakens it. So the Gemara says a lot of papa. So that's according to Rav Nachman. It's Rashtara. But a papa amaloy it's Rashtara. The papa says that no, the shtar is not weakened, and he still has the full force of a shtar, and therefore he can collect with it like he would with any other shtar. So the Gemara says a lot of papa maishna. Well, according to me hahuda amaloy v'chavre. Well, according to the papa, why is this any different than another case where one person says to the other, have the mea zuzi de masiknabach, the harshtara, pay me the 100 zuz that you owe me, here's the shtar, amaloy, and the other one says, lava todi ahavasli, didn't you give them, to begin with, you lent me that money in order to buy oxen. The idea was that I was going to use that money to buy oxen, and then we would split the, and then we'd shech them, and then we'd split the proceeds. In this case, the osis, so now, after I bought the oxen and shechted them, the osis, you came, the yisiva samasachta, you came and sat in the butcher shop over there, the kabelas lozach, and you received your money. I paid you with the meat that I had shechted. The omale, and the other one says, hanu sitroi ninu, that which you paid me from the meat, with the meat was something else that you previously owed me, not the same loan, but a different one that was valpeh. And the omar papa itra shtara, and the papa himself says that in that case, then the shtar is weakened, according to the different possibilities among the Rishonim, what that means. So why is it in the previous case? The papa says the shtar is not weakened, and here it is. And here's where you have the argument that the Rish brings from Rav Shura and Rav Haigon, that since over here in this case it would mean that the shtar is completely bottle. Therefore in the previous case it would also, whereas Rav Nachman says, whereas the Ran says that's not really the same thing, even over here Rav Papa doesn't mean the shtar is completely bottle. And therefore in the previous case it doesn't have to mean that either. Anyway, the question is on Rav Papa, why Rav Papa in the case where he says I paid you a stam without saying in connection with meat or anything like that, then Rav Papa and he says it was sitroi, why is it Rav Papa says there's no problem with the shtar, whereas here in the case of the meat, he says there is a problem with the shtar? The answer is chosam. The answer is because when it comes to paying him with the meat that he sold, given to kama toti yahavtali or matoti shaklat, because once he's saying there was a specific purpose for this loan, that I was going to buy oxen and shech them and we would split the proceeds, and matoti shaklat, and he's claiming and he's saying that you were paid off using the meat, and the other one is not contradicting that. He's just saying that it was sitroi. There we definitely have reason to say it's rashtara. We have much more reason to say that the shtar is weakened, because we really have raglayim ladavar over here. We have a very strong reason to say that it is the same thing, that it really is payment for the same loan, and therefore there's much less reason for us to believe the malva to say sitroi. On the other hand, Hocha Emus Sitroi Ninu, but where you don't, in the first case, where he just says that, where he just says I paid you, and the other one says, but that was for a different loan, Emus Sitroi Ninu, then we have much more reason to say that it was Sitroi, and therefore that he should, that not necessarily, Rav Papa would say, the shtar in that case is not necessarily weakened, and therefore he should be able to collect. Fine. I mean, the poskim paskin in the previous case, like Rav Nachman in general, the halacha is like Rav Nachman and Dinim Amunas. So therefore, in both cases, itra ashtara. And again, what itra ashtara means in that context is going to be subject to that machlokas we're showing. Next. So the Gemara says, well, that's so the Gemara says, the Gemara itself paskins a halacha. My havi halacha, what's the bottom line with this claim of sitroi? Rapapa omolo itrashtara. Rapapi says that that just because he claims sitroi, that when he claims sitroi, the shtar is not weakened and it has the full force of a shtar, and therefore he can continue to collect with it like normal. If the loiva would have to swear a shvuas hesis, that he'd be then we'd go from there. Rav Sheshes Bereder of Idioma Itra Shtar. Rav Sheshes Bereder of Idioma says the force of the shtar is weakened, and therefore either the shtar is completely bottle or in limbo, or he'd have to take a shvuah in order to collect with it. The Hilchsa Itra Shtar. The halacha is the shtar is weakened. However, the Gemara says Vahani Mivit Pari Ba'api Sadi. That would only apply if he paid him in front of Edim Vlo Idka Le Shtar, and at the time he did not mention to him the shtar. So the loiva. So the lawyer did not mention specifically I'm paying what was in the shtar. So now, on the face of it, it's more likely, if there are indeed two outstanding loans, which one is he more likely to be paying off? On the face of it, he's more likely to be paying off the one in the shtar, because the shtar would allow the malva to collect from karka, from the chos and mishabodim. The one without the shtar would not. The one without the shtar is much weaker. So you would say, why would the lawyer go and pay a different one? Nevertheless, the malva is believed with such a claim. Because he paid him in front of Edim. But if he paid him one-on-one without Edim, then he has a migri. Migri de yochol lemeimar. Because he has a migri, that he could have said, like, hod vorma olam, he could claim, this is the malva. When we say the halacha is the shtar is weakened, and therefore the malva can no longer collect with the shtar, or that the shtar would have to, or that he'd have to swear in order to collect with the shtar, etc., would only be if there were edim, and even though the lawyer did not say he's paying off the loan that's in the shtar, nevertheless the malva can claim that it was in fact a payment for a previous milval peh, and we would believe his claim of sitroi. Ava pari ben yidei lidei, but if he paid him one-on-one, then nigger di yochol lemem, like heyud vorma olam, then the malva has a nigger. He could have said there was never any such thing. Therefore, yochol nami lemem is sitroi ninu, therefore he can also say sitroi, and that claim would be believed. So if there were edim, then we wouldn't believe the claim of sitroi. Then we would say the shtar is weakened, and either he can't collect with it at all, or he would have to take a shavua, as the case may be. But if there were no edim, then he has a migri. The chida avimi breidir rabbohu, as in fact we have a case involving avimi, the son of rabbohu, which is described in Ksubas, which where exactly that kind of thing happened. He owed somebody mois for the shtar. He sent money with a shliach to pay off the milva, and the shliach paid him the money without taking back the shtar. Now, later on, the Malva says sitroi, and Rabbahu says that since there were no edim, then therefore the Malva would be believed because he has a migri. With the shliach may well be on the hook in that case, because Avimi can say a concept the Gemara mentions in a number of places, that takuni shdarticha v'loy la'avusi, I sent you in order to fix things up for me. I didn't send you, you're not my shliach. If you mess things up, and in this case you messed up by not demanding the shtar back from him, such that now he has this ability to claim sitroi. So the shliach may well be on the hook now to have to reimburse Avimi for that, but nevertheless, at least as far as the Malva is concerned, we would believe this claim of sitroi, and that's what the Gemara says exactly that over there. First the Gemara says over there that the Gemara tries to draw a distinction whether Avimi told him first take the shtar back and only give him the money, or either way, or whether it's the other way around. And the Gemara says no, either way you can see the tatoni shtar kicha v'lo la'avsi, and therefore the shliach is going to be responsible to reimburse Avimi for the fact that now he's being gunned for another chayv. Okay. Another case. Ahuda Amalei Lechavre, a Teveya says to a Nitva, here it's the other way around. Ahuda Amalei Lechavre is here, at the time of a loan, a loiva is saying to a malva, he wants to borrow money, And he says in the presence of Edim, before he takes out the loan, he says, Mehemnesli, I will trust you, call Amos to Amrithli, like Parayna, anytime that you say I haven't paid. Meaning, normally, in other words, if the Malva says that the Loiva hasn't paid, then that would be and the Loiva says I paid, then that would be Kofar Hakol, and generally speaking, you'd take a Shavua Seses, and that would be that. But you have a kol tnai shem amam and kayim. You're allowed to make any tnai as far as these things that you want. So here, the loiva says, when he's taking out the loan, that, listen, if you claim later on that I haven't paid you, then I will accept that claim and I will pay even though in principle I could have sworn a shavuos heses. Hagos Habach makes a point that usually such a tnai would be made by the malva. When the loiva is saying such a thing, can we really hold him to that? Maybe it would be what the Gemara sometimes calls patumi mili ba'alma, is that he's saying nice, sweet words in order to, it's fattening words, literally, in order to make the other guy feel better, but he doesn't sincerely bind himself to that. But the Bach says, Rashi's point is, when he's saying this b'shas halva, then no, you can't say that. It means basically it's a tznai, that the halva is on that basis. Okay, so in short, the loiva has said that if you claim that the loiva is saying I'm willing to waive my rights for a case where you claim that you didn't that the loan wasn't paid off. Well, also pare ba pesadi. Eventually, he did pay back the loan, and he paid it back in the presence of Adian. Now, the malva claims that he never received the payment, and therefore and he wants to exercise that clause. You said that any time I say it wasn't paid, then you have to believe me. So Abaye and Rava Dami Tavayos, Abaye and Rava both said, okay, Hohemne. Well, he said that he trusts him, so therefore, yeah, then we would ignore the fact that there were Edim, and he would still have to pay. That's the time. Maskiflora Papa, but Rapapa says, how could you say such a thing? Nihi dehemni tfemi nafshe. Sure, the loiva said that he's willing to be believed more than himself. Meaning, in other words, without that tonight, the loiva would have had the ability to swear a shavuos heses and be potter. Now he's saying, fine, I'm willing to forego my right to take that shavuos heses and I'll pay. But tfemi sadi mihemne, did he say that the Lamala's claim is going to be trusted even more than Edim? No. So therefore, no. Now that there were Edim that he paid him, then we don't believe the Malva's claim, and the loan is considered paid off. And that's the halacha, and therefore in that case, Itaka wouldn't have to pay. Okay? Another case, Ahuda Omale Lachavre, the loiva says to the malva before he borrows the money, Mehem Nasli Kebet, here we go even further, Mehem Nasli Kebet Shrei, you will be as trustworthy to me as true Edim, Kol Emas Ta'amat Loi Parayna, when you say that I didn't pay. So in the previous case, he just said, I'm gonna waive my own rights to be believed if I said I paid. He was saying even more so, I'm willing to trust you, like true Edim, that you weren't paid. Well, in the end, Ozapare ba'apit flosa. When he did pay off the loan, he paid it back in the presence of three Edim. Well, Omar Papa, kibet shrei hemne, kibet flosa lehemne. So the Papa says that would be considered valid, and now the Malva can't claim anymore that the loan wasn't paid, because he said, I'm trusting only like two Edim, not like three. So therefore, so it's just three Edim say he paid, so therefore he's good. But Omelet of Huna Breda Rishua, of Huna Breda Rishua, is a little papa. What do you mean? How can we say that? It is true that there are cases where the Chachamim said that you go according to the number of deis, meaning, in other words, that three outranks two. But that would be That would be, for example, where you have to evaluate the value of a property. Or a property in real estate or in the Talmud or whatever it is. So Rashi brings an example from the Masechet Avodah Zarah, where a person says that I want it to be evaluated by three people, and then the fact is, even if it's not all three, even if only two are dealing with the evaluation, then it's good enough. And then you have, what if he says four people? Then it has to be all four of them. So So in other words, the point is that, yes, sometimes we do have that the Chachamim say that the number of people matters and that three is greater than two, and therefore we have more reason to accept the statement of three over two. But that's the le'inin umdona. That comes when it comes to evaluating the value of something, the kamida d'fishi b'ki tfei. The more number of people that are involved in the evaluation, the more likely the evaluation is the more likely it is to be accurate. So therefore, fine. Then he says, when he says three versus four, or whatever, so then an evaluation by a larger number of people is going to be more acceptable. Aval hocha, but over here you're talking about it's just a matter of avalain edus. Here it's a matter of edus. Mea katre or tre kameya. We know when it comes to edus, two are the same as 100, and 100 are the same as two. The same way as we learned in Makkos, for example, we learned that, you have a group of two edim, or you have a group of three edim, it's all the same. Apishnaim edim, oishlosha edim, and they're exactly the same. And three can be mazim two, and two can be mazim three. So the same way over here, then, Rabbona Breger Rishor argues, that when it comes in matters of edus, there's no difference how many edim there are, and therefore if he said I trust you like two edim that I haven't paid, then in that case even three edim shouldn't be able to contradict those two. At most we would say you have two edim against two edim, but that wouldn't cause us to say that the malva can just collect unrestrictedly. So the malva should still be believed with his claim that he wasn't paid because of that clause. Okay. Well, the Gemara continues lishna, and that would be the halacha, and therefore, in fact, he could exercise that clause and say it doesn't matter that I'm still entitled to be paid. Which the Rambam points out over there. So in that case, what should the loiva do? How does he prevent himself from having to pay this over and over again? So either the Rambam suggests, either make sure that you get back the shtar from the malva and rip it up, or the malva. Another possibility is the malva should say on himself in Beis Din, should make an official declaration in front of Beis Din that he's mevatel any shtar that he has against Pliny. So let's say, for example, right now the loiva is ready to pay, but the malva right now says, I don't have any shtar, I don't have the shtar available to give it to you to rip up. Fine, let him make a declaration in front of Beis Din or in front of Edom, whatever, that any outstanding shtar that I have against you, Pliny, is now bottle. And now in the future, then if he tries to claim this loan again, then we can bring out those edim and they can testify that he said that. Another possibility that Amnon says is let him say that I've been paid back all the debts that you owe me. So that would work. So now the Gemara says lishnachrina, and there's another version of how the story went. It started again with the loiva saying to the malva that I trust you like two edim kol emes to amrit loy paraina. Anytime you say that I haven't paid, and therefore the fact that I have edim to the contrary won't contradict that. Also lapari ba'avet losan. Again, in the second version, like in the first version, he paid him in front of three. So now again, amar a papa to be tre hemni to be tlosa lo hemni. In the first version, Rapapa had said that he trusts him like two, not like three, and therefore, in other words, that the malva is not believed to contradict three aiding. But in this second version, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua's objection is different. Maskefor Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, first of all, Tre Kameyam, Omeka Tre, 100 Edim are like two, and two are like 100. But Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says, I'll agree that there is a difference as far as the number of Edim as follows. The E Amalek to Beit Slosa. What would have happened if the Loiva would have said to begin with that I'm trusting you like three Edim? And then he paid him in the presence of four Edim. Well, now this is different because when he says to Beit Trei, it's true, two is a number, but two is also the standard number of Edim, so therefore it doesn't specifically mean two, and therefore three is greater than two, it just means like Edim. The word two, in other words, is taken in the sense of Edim generically. But now when he says three, the fact is three Edim is not necessary. Two Edim is generally quite enough. So now that he's already going into the matter of Deus, he's mentioning the number of Edim, implying that he means specifically that number of Edim, Nochus, and given the Nochus the Deus. Nochus the Deus, once he's gotten into Deus, into the actual number of people, then that distinction is significant as far as the number of people, and therefore he just means the Malveh is believed like three Edim, but not like four. So then if he were to bring four Edim that he paid him in front of, then Rapunah Bredi Rishua says then he would be fine, and the Malveh would have no further claim. So that the halacha is like that version as well. So in short, in other words, if the loiva says generically to the malva, I'll believe you like edim or like two edim, those two lashonas would be equivalent. Then it doesn't matter how many edim he brings to the contrary, we're still going to believe the malva. And the only way, as we said, is to rip up the shtar or to have the malva declare that the shtar is invalid, or that he's been paid off all his debts or whatever. But it's also true that if the loiva were to say that I'm trusting you like three edim, then that means, in other words, that all he has to do is bring four edim that he paid, and there's no further issue. Okay, so those were all the various cases that the Gemara had brought as far as cases where a loiva claims that he paid off and the malva had a counterclaim, and so now we've clarified many dinim in that connection. Okay, now getting back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "Ein nishbarin al tainas secheres shoyt v'katan." We do not swear in Beis Din on the claim of a cheres shoyt v'katan. It's a cute thing, by the way, in Rashi over here. Rashi in the middle of the Omer, Rashi says, "Shachachti melafarash haMishnah." I forgot up until this point to explain the Mishnah. V'hinni mefarash akan, so I'm explaining it over here. Rashi, I guess, expected that maybe in the future when people copy out his manuscript, they would actually stick it in where it's supposed to be, but apparently they didn't. And so to this very day, we have that. And then Rashi gives over here all the Rashis that we would have expected on this part of the Mishnah. Anyway. So the Mishnah had said, "Ein nishbarin al tainas cheres shoyt v'katan." Rashi points out that the cheresh at least would not even be able to make a verbal claim, because a cheresh in halacha definition generally means that he can't hear and he can't speak. So it would mean that he's making a claim b'remizah. It would mean like he's signaling in Beis Din that he's still owed money. And a shoyter is a shoyter, and a katan is a katan. So the Mishnah is saying that you don't swear on a claim that they make. The ein mashbi'in as a katan, and we also do not beswear a katan, meaning if a person makes a claim against a katan in Beis Din, then Beis Din is not going to make him take a shiur. There is actually, when we say that ein nishbarin al tainas cheres shoyt v'katan, doesn't matter whether it's a tainas bori or a tainas shema, so it doesn't matter what type of claim it is. When you think about it, of the three kinds of cases where a person is chayav a shvur daraisa, a moidu mitzas, one aid, and a shvur sashomrim, in particular is all three of those daraisa are a tainas bori. In all those cases, he's saying, I'm certain I lent you that money and I haven't been paid back, or I'm certain I was mafkid that thing with you and you haven't given it back to me or whatever. So not a shvuas hashemim. A shvuas hashemim is a tainas shema in the sense, I gave you the thing, of course, but I'm claiming, you're saying the thing was lost or stolen or whatever, and I'm claiming shema, maybe you kept it for yourself. So the Rimigash actually holds that then you would be nishbarin lakotin, because it's different than a tainas bori versus a tainas shema. So the Rambam agrees with that. The Raiva disagrees and says, wait a second, the cotton's picotin is not considered a valid picotin anyway, because he's a cotton. So never mind whether you would swear to a cotton in that case. There wouldn't even be a claim over here, and therefore, according to him, there's no shavur in that case either. Anyway, the Gemara says, my time, why is that? Amakra, because the Pasuk says, in connection with the Shomer, ki yitin isha re'eo kesef ha-kelim lishmer, person gives to somebody else money or kelim to watch, and you have the case then where it's stolen or lost or whatever, or at least the Shomer claims that it was, and he has to take a shavur that that's actually what happened. Ve'ein nesinas katan klum, now a katan giving something, giving is not considered anything significant as far as that, because the Pasuk says, ki yitin isha, and a cotton is not an ish. And as far as a cheresh and a shoyta, then also they don't have das, and therefore that wouldn't be a valid giving. So again, according to the Rimigash and the Rambam, it would still mean that we would swear to a cotton in that case, because the Tainas Shema and the Ravid says, what are you talking about? All Gemara is clearly saying that you don't. Rishonim point out that nevertheless there would be a Shavuos Heses with a tiny of a cotton, so therefore so we're only talking about a Shavuos Daraisa. We said Avon the Shavuim Makotan v'lahekdish, but the Mishnah had continued, we do swear to a cotton and we do swear to Hekdish, even though the next Mishnah is going to tell us that the Shavuah does not apply to Hekdish, so that's the Gemara asked, and we have a contradiction. You just said we don't swear on a claim of a Chereshreit to a cotton, so what do you mean? We swear to a cotton. And for that matter, the next Mishnah says we don't swear on matters involving Hekdish, and here we're saying that you do. So at least let's deal with the matter of the cotton. The matter of Hekdish we'll deal with later. So Omer Rav, the Bob Tainas of it. What we're talking about over here, the Sefer, is talking about where the Yosin, where the cotton comes with a claim of his father. So in other words, when we're talking about Nishboyin and we're saying that we don't swear on a claim of cotton, is that the cotton says, I gave you a pekodin. But now I'm claiming that you may have kept it for yourself, etc. But here we're talking about the cotton says, my father gave you a pekodin, and then he didn't have the chance to pick it up before he died, and now I'm coming with a claim that he gave it. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in which case our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Sometimes it can happen that a person has to swear in Beis Din because of his own claim, without even a counterclaim to start the process. Namely, case that Omalim, which the Gemara is going to say, we do have a claim over here, so we'll deal with the point. Is the Gemara says it's not the Gemara is going to say it's not really considered a significant claim. But anyway, case that Omalai Monala Vichaviyadi. The loiva says to the son of the malva, monala vichabiyadi, I used to owe your father a mona, v'achaltiv pras, but I gave him a pras, which is a half a mona, like we have in morning davening, pras b'shachavis, or pras ben ha'abayim. So I paid him half already, and the other half I still owe him. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, now he has to swear as a mode of a mikvah, and he's going to be, he's going to be a mode of mixus, and therefore he's going to have to swear on the rest. So in that case, he volunteers the information. Rashi points out, when a cotton is coming with a claim that his father had given a cotton or whatever, so that's no worse than, no less strong than the tainer of his own, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say he'd have to swear on that as well. So the Chum say no. Eina elakamesh ravedo potter. No, in a case like that, the loiva would be considered like a mesh ravedo, because after all, the children didn't know necessarily that this loan was outstanding at all. When he volunteers the information that he still owes 50, then it's like mesh ravedo. It's like we talked about in the Mishnah about returning a lost object where we're not going to be mashvia him because he owes the rest of it. Rather, we'll accept that. We'll accept what he says, and therefore, he's potter from a shavuot. Whether we have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in various places in Shas doesn't mean that he'd be potter because of a takonas chachamim of meishu aveda, or this is according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos. Never mind that he'd be potter actually daraisa because apesha also apesha hitter. They wouldn't have even known of this loan without him telling so. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that he'd have to swear in a case like that. Well, by the same token, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that he has to swear in a case where the cotton sues him in the first place. So, before we get back to that, I want to ask, wait a minute, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, less than Meshav Aveda Potter, doesn't Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hold of the concept of Meshav Aveda as Potter? So here, Tosfos just briefly says, Pirush b'migri, namely with a migri, because Tosfos holds over here, like they do in their Shitta and other places, that now, in a case like this, he would be potter, not as dirabbonim, because of a takana of Meshav Aveda, but daraisa, because he has a migri, because he didn't have to admit to the thing at all. So the answer is Omer Rav Mishtonei Katan, because Rabbi Eliezer is talking about Mishtonei Katan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is in fact not talking about where the guy just volunteered and came to Beis Din and said, I still owe your father X amount. We're talking about where the Katan made the claim in the first place. And he says that I know that part, that I know that loan is still outstanding. I says, Katan, what do you mean? The Katan is claiming. Ramat Enishbo, not Tanis Cheder Shreit of a Katan. Our Mishnah had said that you don't swear on a claim of a Cheder Shreit of a Katan. So the answer is la'olam, the la'olam gadol. In fact, Rav means that he made the claim when he is a gadol. Vamai korolei katan, but why are we calling him a katan? Delagabi milidavu a katan who, relative to his father's dealings, then he's considered a katan. In other words, he's not necessarily so familiar with all the details of his father's business dealings, and therefore but now he is a gadol, so therefore it's a valid claim, and therefore he's going to have to, and therefore the nitba is going to have to swear a shur. So that would be a case where the Mishnah says, or in other words, in short, Rav would explain that when the Mishnah says you don't swear on a claim of a cheder shreit of a cotton, means an actual cotton, versus when the Mishnah says nishbon al tainas cotton, then that would mean where this is a former cotton who's now a gadol, and now he's a, and now he's making a claim, and therefore you'd have to swear on that. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, well then what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean when he calls it Tainas Atzmai? It's his own claim. What do you mean? Tainas Achedim. It starts with a claim from somebody else. This adult son is suing him in Beis Din. So why are you calling it Tainas Atzmai? And the answer is fine. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means Tainas Achedim Vahidas Atzmai. It means it is a claim from somebody else that triggered the whole thing, but then he himself is admitting and is Modim Mitzas. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Modim Mitzas, therefore he has to swear, and the Chacham was saying, and we're asked, well, that's the same as every other case in Beis Din. Kulunami, Tainas Acherim, Vardas Atzmininu. The regular case of Modim Mitzas is also that one person makes a claim and the other one counterclaims and says, I owe less. So then what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean? Pa'omim, sometimes a person is Nishbal, Tainas Atzmai, and why would the Chacham consider him Meshur Aveda? Every case of Modim Mitzas by that logic is a Meshur Aveda because he didn't have to admit to anything at all. So now, the Gemara says, in fact, we are talking about that is we're going to say that after all it was a cotton, an actual cotton Ella, but the argument between them below and normally a cotton's claim wouldn't be considered at all because again ki yitin isha re'ehu, but here after all the fact is the giving was done by an ish, it was done by his father, so therefore we're going to have Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim are going to argue whether the shomer has to take a shvua, and that's going to be based on Ela b'de Rava k'miflegi, because they're arguing about the point that Rava says about Bechlal, why is a Modim Mitzas Chayav Shavur, which the Gemara mentions this point in several places, in several other places in Shas. To Omer Rabba, mitnei ma Omer Torah Modim Mitzas Etayin Yishova, why does the Torah in the first place say that a Modim Mitzas has to swear, meaning Rashi explains in several places in Shas, again, why don't we consider him like a Meshur Aveda, whether we say a Meshur Aveda is Potter Daraisa because he has a Migui, or Midrabanan because Meshur Aveda, why are we making him take a Shavur? So the reason is, Chazaka ain't on a Meis Ponav, Mepnei Baal Choyv, because there is a Chazaka that a person is not so brazen in front of his Baal Choyv to deny the whole thing. In several places in Shas, we talked about this the other day, that Rashi learns that the point is, in other words, since the guy did him a favor and lent him money, he wouldn't be so brazen as to deny the whole thing. Tosva says that it applies beyond the Halvah as well. It applies to cases of a Shomer, like an Argamar over here, and therefore Tosva learns that it means just that we're saying that a person usually wouldn't be so brazen as to deny something where the other person knows clearly that he's lying. Anyway, so therefore, so therefore, let's go through the thought process over here. He would have liked to deny the whole thing, but he doesn't deny the whole thing, because he's not so brazen as to do that, to deny the whole thing. Then, on the other hand, we should wonder in that case if we're suspecting him of lying, and he would have liked to deny the whole thing, except that he's not so chutzpahdik to do that. Then why don't we say that he's choshed al shvur? Why is the Torah making him take a shvur in the first place? Because in fact, really, he would have wanted to admit the whole thing. The reason he doesn't is the muti who become a shtamit mine, because he's trying to get out of it. He's trying to stall for time. Meanwhile, Sabra, he thinks to himself, right now I can't afford to pay the whole loan. Let me wait until I have all the money, or parayin alei, and therefore I'll pay him. So therefore he thinks to himself that right now I'm not going to be, because ain't on a maze punim. I can't deny the whole thing, but I'll claim that I paid part of it, and that way at least I'll buy myself some extra time to pay it back. V'rachmana Omar, therefore, the Torah says, to forestall that, Rami Shvua Ilavei, place the requirement for a Shvua on him, ki hefi delo delo v'kulei, that way, since he's going to be afraid to take a false Shvua, as we learned the other day about the serious consequences of one, and how Beis Din gives him a whole speech to scare him out of it, then that way he will admit to the whole thing, and then we can work out under what terms he'll repay, since he can't afford to pay it all right now. So the point is that, so Rabba says that's the psychology, that's the idea behind this concept of a moedim mitzvah having to swear. So now that we have that point, the question is, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov and the Chachamim then are arguing, how far do we extend this point? Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Sava, Loshna Boy, Loshna Bibnoi, Ain Mayas. Rabbi Lozman Yaakov says that it doesn't matter whether it's the original claimant himself or whether it's his son, either way, Ainan Mayas Ponim, Nebal Choyvoi, and therefore the same way as he would have had to swear a Shavuah of a Modi B'mitzas to the Teveya himself, the same way he has to swear it to his son. And we're not going to consider him a Meshav Aveda for the same reason that we don't consider any Modi B'mitzas to be a Meshav Aveda. Rabbanan Sabri, where's the Chachamim hold? According to Rashi's point, that the reason why he's not mazed is because the guy did him a favor, the son didn't do him a favor, but nevertheless, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov says that he wouldn't be mazed in that case. Rabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim say no, but Fonav Huda ain't a mazed, he wouldn't be mazed with Fnei Baal Choyvoi, but Abba with Fnei Bnei mazed, but he could have been chutzpahdik enough to deny the whole thing to his son, or Midaloi mazed, and since he doesn't, Meshav Aveda Hu, then he's a Meshav Aveda, and either because he's potter, either because of a Tachanas Chachamim, or because he has a Migri, which would be Daraisa. So that would be the meaning of the Machloikas. So we can say, after all, that we are talking about where it is the son, when he's a Katan, is making a claim in Beis Din, and the question is whether he's still considered a Modim Mitzvah in this case, whether he'd have to swear the Shavuah of a Shomer, or whether not, and we would believe him with his claim that he paid back. That he paid back half of it, or in the case of a Bikodin, that he returned it, etc. Or whatever. So the point is, in other words, that our Mishnah, when it says that you swear on a claim of a Katan, then we're saying that would go according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a person has to swear in that case, because according to the Chachamim, he wouldn't have to swear, he would be a Meshav Aveda. So the Gemara asks, "Mi motzis mukmas la?" How could you say that our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov? Hakatani, Hakatani Reisha. Our Mishnah had said in the Reisha, "Mona la Abba biyodcha." If Reuven says that you owed a mona to my father, and the other one answers, "Ein lecha biyadi ala chamishim dinner." At this point, I owe you only 50 dinner. Potter mepesha meishav aveda. Who then he's potter from a shvur because he's meishav aveda, and that's obviously not like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, because Rabbi Lozman Yaakov would make him swear in that case. And the answer is hosam dele ama bodily, because the case of the Reisha is talking about where the son is making only a tainas shema. So then, in that case, so now it's only a tainas shema. It would be very easy for him to say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I paid back the whole thing. So if he voluntarily says that I still owe 50, then we can call him a meshav aveda, and he's potter from ashur. But in the sefer, which is what we were focusing on before, to explain. So in other words, when the Mishnah had said, I'll tie a secheta shirt of a cotton, and we said also there was a case where he says, I only owe 50, that would be where the cotton himself is not making a tiny body, he's saying only Shema, maybe you still owe him. So So then if he says that I taka own only 50, then it would be a Meshur Aveda. But in the Sefer, when we say Nishiborin Altanis Cotton, would mean where the cotton is making a definitive claim, I know for a fact that you paid my father only 50, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the same way as Einim Meiz Ponim Afnei Baal Choyve, the same way he's not Meiz Ponim before the, in front of the son either, and therefore he's not a Meshur Aveda. So therefore he'd have to swear. So all of that was Rav's explanation of our Mishnah, what it means, where on the one hand it's saying Nishbon Altan Ein Nishbon Altan is cotton, and then it says Nishbon Altan is cotton is it depends whether the son is making a claim of his own or whether he's coming with a claim that the money was owed to his father, and whether it's a Tainus Bodhi versus Tainus Shem. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel has a whole different explanation. Lakotan, when it says in the Mishnah, Nishboim Lakotan means on the contrary. It doesn't mean that a different person in the Din Torah swears to the cotton, meaning regarding the cotton's claim. On the contrary, Lakotan means Lipora Minichse Cotton. On the contrary, if a person wants to collect from the chosim of a cotton, then he's going to have to swear. Meaning, in other words, even if he has all the proofs that he needs. He has a shtar, and normally with a shtar he'd be able to collect without a shvur, but here he's collecting from Yisraimim, therefore the Mishnah is telling us he has to take a shvur before he collects with that shtar. Similarly, Shmuel says, Lahekdish, when the Mishnah had said you swear to Hekdish, even though the next Mishnah says you don't swear on cases involving Hekdish, same thing, it means Lipora, Minichse Hekdish, if a person wants to be paid from the Chosim of Hekdish. So what would happen? In other words, Reuven had previously lent money to Shimon and has a shtar to that effect. Later on, Shimon goes and his makdish is nechosim, and now Reuven wants to be able to collect from those nechosim. So because those nechosim now belong to Hekdish, he's going to have to take a shvur. There is a concept that Gemara mentions in some places, Hekdish, mafkia midei shibur, that if a person is makdish something, it takes away the shibur altogether, and a Baal Chayv can't collect from that, but that's talking about, the Ritva points out over here, that's talking about where it's kedushas like guf. So if Shimon, in our case, were to be makdish an animal as a korban, for example, then now it has kedushas like guf, and now that removes the shibur on it. Even, in other words, there's normally no shibur on the talqun anyway, but let's say even it was made an apusiki, let's say it was defined as this is the particular one with which the loan will be paid off. But here we're talking about only Kedushas Domim. He donated it to the fund, to the Hekdish Bedek Abayis, to the fund for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash. So in that case, that doesn't take away the Shibur, and Reuven would be able to collect from it. However, since he's collecting from Hekdish, he would have to take a Shibur. So the Gemara says, how can you say Lakotan Lipora Minichse Cotton? Tanena, in that case, we learn that more explicitly. We're going to have a Mishnah in the next Perek, and we have a Mishnah also in Ksubas, Minichse Yisraimim Lipora Ela B'Shvur. When a person wants to collect from Nichse Yisraimim, he can do it only with a Shvur. So Mishnah clearly says it already. Tauti Lomali, why would the Mishnah have to repeat that point twice? And the answer is, Hokamash Malon Kidab Bayak Shisha. The reason why the Tana would repeat that in both places is to tell us the din like what Abayak Shisha says. Shisha means the elder. So you have Abaya, the regular Abaya throughout Shas, and then there was an earlier Amoda also named Abaya, so we call him Abayak Shisha, Abaya the elder, to distinguish him from the better known Abaya. Anyway, Abaya Shisha says, Tony Abaya Shisha, he taught a Braisa, Yisraimin Sha'omru, when we say, That when we talk about collecting from Yisraimim, G'doylim, that means even when they're grown-ups, the Ein Sorach L'Mektanim, needless to say, when they're Ktanim, Bein L'Inyan Shvua, Bein L'Inyan Ziburis. And that applies both to the point that we said that when you want to collect from Nichsi Yisraimim, you have to take a Shvua, as well as the point that when you want to collect from Nichsi Yisraimim, you collect only from Ziburis, whereas Baal Choyv usually collects from Beininus, by Takonas Chachamim. But when it comes to collecting from Yisraimim, then we go back to the original Din D'Oraisa, and he collects only Ziburis. So Abai Shisha points out that those dinim would apply whether you're collecting from the Yisraimim when they're actually Soktanim or even when they're grown up. So the Mishnah mentions that point twice to say that the point of swearing to them in order to collect the debt applies whether they're Gdolim and whether they're Ktanim. Alright, so that explains the repetitiousness in the Mishnah. What about also Lahekdish? What about the repetitiousness as far as Hekdish? Lipora Minichse Hekdish, Shmuel is saying it means to collect from the Chosim of Hekdish. Again, Tanena. We have also in the Mishnah, in the next parak, Minichosim Mishabodim, a person wants to collect from the Chosim Mishabodim, Lo Yiporu Ela B'Shvur. You can collect only with a Shvur. Now, a shibud is a shibud. Either way, what's the difference whether they were sold to a hedyet or whether they were given to hekdesh? Either way, it's out of the possession of the loiva, and now the general rule would be that you have to swear. So why would our mission have to mention that you swear to hekdesh when in general you want to collect from any third party, you have to take a shavur? The answer is itzrich. The answer is Shmuel would say that there's still a chiddush in it, and therefore the Mishnah would have to repeat it. Otherwise, you would have thought like this. Hedyet hu de'odamos k'nunyal hedyet. You know, when it comes to collecting from a hedyet, conceivably they might collude together in order to take it away from him. So what's going to happen? In other words, Reuven lent money to Shimon. Later on, Shimon went and sold his property to Levi, and now the loan comes due, and now Reuven is dunning Shimon for it, and Shimon doesn't have what to pay, so therefore Reuven goes and collects from Levi. Conceivably, you could have some collusion over here that Shimon might well have actually paid back the debt, but he's going to falsely claim that he didn't, in order that then Reuven will go take the property away from Levi, and then Reuven and Shimon can split it among themselves. So he might do that. So therefore we have to be concerned about that, and therefore we're going to say, if Reuven wants to collect from Levi, let him take a shavur, and he's going to be afraid to make a false shavur. Abel hektish, but you would have thought, when it comes to hektish, the inon moisek nunya, ala hektish, nobody plays tricks like that with hektish. You would think that therefore maybe you should be able to collect without a shavur. Therefore, our mission has to tell us that no, even in that case, you do have to take a shavur. Oh, because we are concerned, maybe because we're concerned that a person would make a knunya on a hekdesh, or maybe just because in general, we're going to say the general rule is that if he's collecting from a third party, then we always say yes to take a shavur. Okay. The Gemara says, but here's another problem. Suppose that a shchiv mera, a person who's on his deathbed, was makdish all his property. And then he says, so you're telling me that a person might make a knunya on a hekdish. So, but we're saying that if a person was makdish on all his property on his deathbed, but then he says, I still owe plenty of mona. And therefore, in other words, that mona is not subject to hektish. So, in other words, Rashi says, hagbehu tefillim, and anachasim sheik dashi, make sure that person is first able to collect from the anachasim before the rest of it goes to hektish. So then we said, neman, we do believe him. Chazakah, einonimos knuni, ala hektish. Because we have a chazakah, nobody's going to play tricks like that with hektish. So here we're saying a person might play such tricks, and therefore if he wants to collect from hektish, if in our scenario before Reuven wants to collect from hektish, then he has to swear. But here we're saying einonimos knuni, ala hektish. So why should it be necessary for him to swear? The answer is Amri, the Bnei Aisha answered, Hani Mili, Shchivmana. When it comes to a Shchivmana, yeah, in Onam Choyte, Veloy Loy, a person is not going to sin where he himself is not going to benefit from it. He expects to soon die, so he's not going to go and play a trick on Hektish and take something away from them that he's not supposed to get, in order to play a trick on Hektish like that. Therefore, we can believe him without a Shavur. But where he's a healthy person and he himself stands to benefit from it, Vadeh Hashin, and we do have good reason to be concerned that he might actually do that, and therefore we're going to make him take a shavur anyway. So that's Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah, that Lakotin or Lahekdish over here means to collect from a cotton or to collect from a hektish respectively, whereas again Rav's opinion before was that our Mishnah went like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that there are cases where a person is being sued by a cotton, where he's coming betainas godol, he's coming because betainas oviv, he's coming based on a claim that the money was owed to his father, and he's making a tainus bori, and therefore you have to swear in response to his claim. I forgot to mention before, by the way, when we talked about Rabba's Chazaka in Anamei's Ponov, B'nei Baal Choyvei, the Gemara had also brought that on Mem Amud Beis in connection with why the Chachamim made the Takana later on of Shavuos Hesis, even where the person denies altogether. So now, here Rabbi is saying, Chazaka Einon Ameis Ponim B'nei Baal Choyvei, and the Gemara had mentioned, on the other hand, Chazaka Einon Teveya, then Ken Yesh Le'olav, a Chazaka that a person claims only if there's a loan, and the Gemara there had also mentioned the point of Chazaka Einon Ameis. The Gemara had given the same kind of answer as over here, that he's trying to stall for time. So what does it mean? Here Rabbi is saying that concept allows us to say that because of that he's Modim Mikdas, but not Kofar Hakel. There on Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara had used that same point to say that therefore he might even be Kofar Hakel. So Tosfos says that there's a difference between the Tosfos there on Mem Amud Beis, we talked about says that it's one thing. Even when he's a kofer hakol, he is also trying to stall for time, but he's not going to be so, he's not going to be, in other words, the point is, there's no migui, because we wouldn't say that when he's a kofer hakol, he has a migui. Because chazaka in anam may is ponav, and therefore the fact that he's modi b'mikfas doesn't grant him a migui. Basically though, the Gemara is saying over there that there is a certain logic to say that when he's kofer hakol, maybe it's also in order to store for time, and therefore in Reb Nachman's generation, they made a shavuos heses. And then we said over there, the Ritual said that it just meant the Chachamim realized that there came a point where people are more mayors, and therefore they found it necessary to make a shavuos heses. Okay. Mishnah says, "Ve'elu dvorim she'ein neshvoin aleihem." The following things a person does not take a shvua on, where there's a claim against him in Beis Din. Ha'avodim, where there's a claim about an eved. So say, for example, that Reuven says that you sold me two avodim and you delivered only one of them, and Shimon says that, and then Shimon says I delivered both of them. So then he wouldn't, even though he's a modim mitzvah, he wouldn't swear. Or the same thing with any of the other cases where a person has to swear. Vashtoris and a shtar, where he says that I gave you shtoris to watch and you only returned some of them, let's say. So therefore no shvur. Vakakois and land, that as we'll learn in the Gemara why all of these things are excluded. Vahekdeshis and hektish. And the Mishnah says, by the way, while we're mentioning that there's no shvua on them, there's a lot of other dinim that don't apply to them. Shemachinam ein nishva. In all those cases, I skipped the line. Ein behen tashlume kefil. Also, tashlume kefil does not apply to those. A person steals somebody else's eved or shtar or what have you. He does not pay kefil for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Nor is there if it was an ox or a sheep, where normally there would be tashlum above a chamisha if he shechted it or stole it. If it belonged to hektish, then there would not be tashlum above a chamisha. Also, shemechinam enin nishba. If a shemechinam claims that the thing was lost or stolen, he wouldn't swear. Noisisachos, so in other words, when the Mishnah had said, Eilu drom shein nishba in alein, meant a modu mitzvah, now we're saying also not shuvas hashemim. Noises socher in a mashalim, and if it was a shomer socher, he wouldn't pay for them if there was gneva v'aveda. Because all of these things, well, the Gemara is going to point out, with each one of them, there's a mute in the pasuk that it doesn't apply to these things. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says no. It depends. Within hektish depends. Kodshim shechay bach riyusan. When it comes to korbanos, where he's chay bach riyusan, where it was a neder. Rather than an adaba. And if the animal was lost or stolen or what have you, he would have to replace it with another one. Then a shomer or whatever would have to swear on it, because since chayabach riyosan, then it's considered to be his property. The she'ene chayabach riyosan, but if the korbanos way is not chayabach riyosan, where to begin with, he had said harezu oilo or whatever, where it's an adaba, and if the animal is lost or whatever, then he's potter from doing anything further. So then ein nishvoin alei, and then Rav Shimon says, I agree, you don't swear on those, because those are not considered the property of the person who was makdish at all. Okay, this that we said that you don't swear on karka, the Mishnah continues. Rav Meir says it depends. Yesh dvarim shehen ka karka ve'enin ka karka. There are things that are like karka, but yesh dvarim shehen ba karka, really, it says over here. In other places where the Gemara quotes it, it says ke karka, but whatever. There are things that are in the ground, ve'enin ka karka, but they're not really like karka for the purposes of this halacha. Ve'en chachamim modim lo, the chacham disagree with this concept. Ketzad, what does that mean? For example, Reuven says, Esug fanim tu'unus masauti l'cha, I gave you 10 vines laden with fruit to watch. So you were shomer on them. Va'lo'omer, and the other one says, ein another chomesh, it wasn't 10 vines, it was only five, so it's modim mitzvah. Rameo, machayev shvua, Rameo is going to make him swear because he's modim mitzvah. Va'chom say no, kolam achobal akarka, areo kakarka, anything attached to the ground is considered like the ground, and therefore no shvua. As far as several of the cases that we have so far, as far as when there's no tashlumei kefil, means Tosfos points out, karka, for example, there could be masig vul. Normally we say karka ain't an exelus. Karka can't be stolen because it's still there. But you can have a case, for example, where a person moves the boundary markers and makes it look like one part, like something, like a certain part of land actually belongs to him. Nevertheless, there wouldn't be tashlumei kefil. And then you also have this case of kfanim to unis. So Reb Meir would, as the Gemara is going to say, the Gemara is going to explain, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, that Reb Meir would agree where the grapevine are not ready to be harvested yet, then we would say that's still considered like karka and therefore not tashlumei kefil. As far as the and then Tosfos discusses as far as the details with the Shomer Chinam, where we're saying that he wouldn't have to swear. Does that mean that he would be potter even from Shia? So Tosfos discusses and says that yes, he actually would be, because of that, he actually would be potter from Shia. And Tosfos goes on to mention, let's say, for example, a person borrowed a house and then it burnt down, then he would be potter from a shavua for it. On the other hand, Agoris Agura points out that there are Rishonim who say he would be chayev in that case. Anyway, so you have a number of cases where a person is potter from a shavua in these kinds of cases. Interesting thing, I think I've mentioned before, Reb Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says here you have a powerful proof, like this, sometimes you have people, sometimes who claim that the mitzvahs in the Torah were invented by the Kohenim or some such nonsense like that. He says here you see, you know, in most legal systems, they usually consider stealing from the government or stealing from the temple to be a very serious thing and has very serious consequences. Here we're saying, fakir, that a person is denying a claim of hektish or whatever, he doesn't even have to swear the shavua that he would have to a head yet, so retreat, and he doesn't pay the tashlumei kefil and so forth. So the Torah is treating him more leniently than it would have if he'd stolen or whatever from a head yet. With that said, there would be a shavuos hesis in many of these cases, as we've talked about before. Okay. The Mishnah continues, When a person is going to take a Shavua, it has to be that the claim was something involving an actual measurement or a weight or a number. Meaning, in other words, it has to be a definite claim. It can't be some indefinite amount. Ketzad, what does that mean? Reuven says, Bayis mole masarti lecha, I gave you a house full of produce or whatever it is to watch, and now it's not full anymore. Okis mole masarti lecha, I gave you a money bag full of coins, and now it's not full anymore. Va'alo ome eni yedea, and the shomer says, I don't know how much it was. Elamashi nachdat anoto, whatever it is that you gave, that you placed over here, is what you can take back. Potter, then he's potter from a shvua because there was no specific amount that was being demanded of him. But zeh oimer, but if the teveya says adaziz, the house was full until the ledge. The zeh oimer adachaloin, and the other one says no, only to the window chayev. Then he would be chayev for moedim mitzvahs because now there's a definitive amount that we're saying. So Tosfos printed later on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph mentions a couple of points in this connection. One of them being there is a concept that the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia called Halach, where if the Moed Mikta says here is the money right now, then you have a machlokas in the Gemara whether he's still chayev a shvur or not. So here he's saying on the face of it, he's saying Halach. Here you have that here's what's left in the house, and so here's what's in the house until the window. So we'd have to be talking about that it's not Bain. He's not saying that right now you have here's the house and here's the produce in it up to the window, but rather he's saying, I agree, you gave me a house full of things up to the window, but right now that produce is not present there right now, and therefore that would be murder mitzvahs. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's start working through how we know that these things do not apply to the things mentioned in the Mishnah, Vodim, Shtoris, and Karkaris, and so forth. And we learned a few days ago in the Gemara that not everybody agrees to that. We said there was an opinion that said that only Shtoris are excluded and not anything else. So because the Gemara is going to say over here, we have a Klal of Prat or Klal, and as we learned a few days ago, we have a different opinion that says that instead we do Ribui Miyat Ribui. How does it go? Menolon, the Tana Rabban, we learn a Braisa. The Pasuk is our Kol Dvar Pesha for anything where he was careless. So that's Klal, that's a general statement. Anything that he was careless and it was stolen or he claims that it was stolen. Al Shoda, Hamur, Al Seva, Al Seva, Al Salma. Then the Pasuk mentions four specific things: an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or a garment. Prat. So then that's a prat. Al Kol Aveda, and then the Pasuk continues, anything that was lost. Chazav Akolal. So that's a klal again. So therefore the Torah is now re-including everything. Klal Aprat, or klal Iyat Adon Amakein Aprat. So then in that case we apply the usual rule of klal Aprat to klal. And therefore, So ma prat mafudish davar amataltav a gufay moment. So what do we see within the prat? Is all those things amataltlin, and all of those things are things that have intrinsic value. Then afkol davar amataltav a gufay moment. So the same way, any time when a person is going to be chayav for modim mitzas, or in the case of a shomer where he's claiming that it was stolen or whatever, is going to have to be davar amataltav a gufay moment. Yotzu karkois, therefore that excludes karka shein mataltlin because they're not movable. Yotu Avodim, Chokshulakakos. Avodim are excluded because you have a hekesh between them and Kauka, the hekesh that the Pasuk says, Amen Vis, Nachaltam Oisam, you should bequeath them as an achuza, as an eternal inheritance to your children. Yotu Shtoris, and Shtoris are excluded. Sha'af B'shein Metalflin, even though they are Metalflin, and Gufan Moment, their value is not because of their is not intrinsic to them. It's only because of the halva that's written on them. So therefore, so that excludes those three. As far as Hektish, Re'ehu, as far as Hektish, the Pasuk says that the case involved Re'ehu, his colleague, meaning as opposed to Hektish. There's a Sicha in Chelek Aleph, by the way, where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind this matter of the Shavuah of the Moedim Mitzvahs in the first place. It means a person has received his Neshama as a Pikodin from Hashem, Mashviya Moshe, Tzadik, Val Tirosha, but now there was carelessness over here, and he wasn't careful. And you have Shur, where he's destructive, like a Shur, Chamur, where he's cold, like the Gemara says elsewhere, that a donkey always feels cold, Seh, he acts like Sep Zura Yisrael, like the Jewish people who are scattered and feel themselves subjugated to the goyim and don't have Jewish pride. And Salma is a garment, and you have the expression beged, also meaning a garment, related to the word beged, which means being disloyal. So a person has fallen in with his yetzahara with any one of these things, and therefore he has to retake his shvua. He has to retake his shvua in order to re-strengthen himself in his avoda. And ader alekim yavid var shneim, he has to come to the dayanim representing. He has to reconnect himself with Moshe and with the Moshe shabachol deveder. And then pay back in the end. If it turns out that everything turns out that he was careless, Yishalom Shnayim L'Rei, then he pays back double. He actually his job is now to transform his Yetzer Hara into another Yetzer Tov, and thereby pay back double. Okay. One more thing, and the Mishnah had said that the loy tashlum kefa v'loy tashlum abav chamisha. All these cases we said in the Mishnah, avodim shtoris karkois and hektish. There's no tashlum kefa, and in the case of an ox or a donkey, there's no tashlum. In the case of an ox or a sheep, there's no tashlum abav chamisha. Why is that? So my timer. So the kefil, we understand, for the same reason as before, because the Torah had stated the kefil, and it said, and we said that those things. Don't apply to things that are not metaltal or gufa moment, and they don't apply to hektish. Why not tashlumah abava chamisha? So because tashlumah abava chamisha, amar achmona, v'lay tashlumah shloish abba. The Torah says you have to pay back four times if it was an ox that was shechted or sold, five times for a sheep. So now, if there's not going to be a kefil, then we would have to deduct that. And therefore, the result is it would come out three or four times, because then what the idea is, you have kefil, and then if it was tivochoi mechore, then on top of the kefil, we have an extra two or three times payment, but if there's no kefil, then you can't impose only the two or three times payment, because then you would have a payment of three times for an ox, and four times for a sheep, and that's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying that specifically four and five respectively. So in short, where there's no kefil, then there's no payment for tashlum abav hamisha either, for shechting or for stealing, even though there's no specific miut in the Torah about that.